FU Network. Yeah, it's about an attitude, but FU stands for us. Us, regular people, making the type of authentic, honest, down-to-earth programming that big media stomped out of existence. Well, our message to big media is FU. Come on, join the team. Reclaim our media for the common people. Become a supporter for $5 a month via Patreon or PayPal. Patreon.com/FU Network TV or PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. That's Patreon.com/FU Network TV or PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Come on, $5 a month? That's $1.50 a week to rebuild real Canadian media. You drop more than that every day on overpriced coffee. Yeah, you do. So if you like our podcasts, tell big media FU and cough up a fin. Now, here's your show.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
Hello and welcome to Mansplaining. I'm Stephen Kersner. And today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic. I'm actually looking forward to this one because usually the contributions that our panel makes help me to get to know the topic better and get to know them better. Sometimes that's a good thing. We'll see today. We're going to be talking about peacocking. And for those who don't know what that is, that's when men, through various means and mechanisms, try to show off, usually for the opposite sex or for the same sex, somebody they're attracted to. There's various ways, as I said, that it can be done. There's clothing, there's material, there's behavior, there's social media. There's various ways, and we're going to talk about that today. The name comes from, of course, the bird, the peacock, where the male has the very colorful plumage, and the female, known as a peahen, is very nondescript. And that's not unusual in nature, because often the male of the species is much more colorful. It helps to attract mates. It also helps when, for example, with birds, when there's a nest, the male is more colorful and therefore could fly away and attract predators and take them away from the nest, whereas the female is, lower profile, looking after the little ones. The animal kingdom is still remarkably sexist with regards to gender roles. Today, our panel is our producer, Hafiz Nourani. Hello, Hafiz.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm great. You're sounding good. Your knee is obviously feeling better.
Oh, so much better. I can almost walk around on two legs. Still have to use my crutches a little bit, but hey, you know what? Getting through it one step at a time.
You're like your own Riddle of the Sphinx, for those who understand the Riddle of the Sphinx. What walks on four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and three legs in the evening, which of course is man, and except you're walking on the three legs now. And you're going back to the two legs. Sorry for that diversion. Also joining us is, of course, the inimitable Andrew Willis. Hello, Andy.
All I got to say is I'm glad my knees are good because glory holes are a thing. Finally.
Is that where you peacock?
You bet, baby.
No, big time. It's where he peeks at cock. Okay. All right. Also joining us, hard to follow that one, is our resident inventor, entrepreneur, and a conservative, sane conservative political voice, Aaron Seal. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, gentlemen. Pleasure as always.
Yeah, that's the best way to go about it, Aaron. Just nice and straight after that. After following Andy.
Yeah, I'm not... setup was very interesting. I'll give Andy credit for that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about peacocking. First, let's go through it just around the horn here. Guys, have you ever knowingly engaged in peacocking?
Yes.
Of course. Okay. Absolutely.
And Hafiz?
Absolutely. Like there's a whole era of being in your 20s, and that was a critical aspect of your life.
And you know, okay, we've done it. We all did it when we were younger, trying to make ourselves more attractive or, you know, stand out to the opposite sex or to the same sex. As I said, whoever we were attracted to. But we'll get to talking later about how peacocking changes as you get older, but it does not go away. Let's talk first about clothing. what, when you see somebody wearing what type of clothing or what items, do you say that person is peacocking? Andrew Willis?
Okay, so it's really funny. So I work next to a nightclub, and you can always tell who is peacocking for sure. Because, I mean, a nightclub is a place you want to go. You want to go, and you want to get laid. You want to, you know, abracadabra, reach out and grab you and go home. So I always see these dudes that come in, and they're always wearing, like, the most insane, tackiest clothes with, like, sparkles on them and, like, like this crazy, like just like it's just insane.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Right? 100%.
In Affliction.
Yeah, but that's what's so weird. Like Affliction's still a thing, I guess so. You know.
Yeah.
But anyways, but the first sign of a man peacocking is his cologne, and a man who wears aggressive cologne is like the hallmark calling card that they're going to be someone who peacocks a lot.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. Because, I mean, last time...
Well, it's haptics. It's more than just haptics or, you know, speaking. It's olfactics as well.
Scent is the strongest sense tied with memory. So there's a whole science behind that, too. And picking the right cologne that works with your body type.
No,
I think it's always like Zara cologne. Like, it's never like a good cologne.
No, you gotta get yourself a good John Varvatos Artisan or like
Helena Rubinstein or something.
What about English leather? Is that and
no.
And Brute. Is that not a thing anymore? Brute?
Yeah,
Brute is my favorite
in the army.
All right. Yeah. I think that anybody wearing cologne is peacocking, because to me the best cologne is no cologne at all. Just have no smell.
It's a cultural thing too, I think, cologne. I mean, not to tangent here, but like if you are from Europe or the Middle East or whatnot, scents and colognes and things like that are a way bigger part of culture than North America.
Well, there was time.
North America's idea of cologne is Axe.
Yeah, the body spray. There was a time. I mean, I remember back in my youth, there was a time in the 80s when cologne was a big thing. Polo was a big one. Paco Rabanne, I think, was a big
Draco
one.
Draco Noir.
Yeah, like there was, and people still used English leather and things of that nature. There was a time that it sort of faded out. What about you, Aaron? What do you see as a principal sign that a man is peacocking?
Well, color is the big one. Cologne was an interesting one, as Andy brought it up, because that was a big one for me when I was young. And the scent that you leave behind and the way it sort of registers with memories over time, that was a big one, that at least in my social community for me. But color in business settings and even in political settings on Parliament Hill, you know if somebody is wearing a unique tie, whether it's a paisley tie or a bright colored tie,
exactly,
or something, a pinstripe suit with some sort of texture to it. I remember I had this, tell my personal story. I had this Hugo Boss suit that was this weird blue textured thing, but you could see that it was textured from a distance. And every time I wore it, I got compliments. So in a professional setting, that's what I'd say peacocking. It's the combination of these things, whether it's the colors and the scent. It's the presence that you give yourself, and it's those factors that come together.
It's interesting that you mentioned professional, because there is a difference between professional peacocking and social peacocking.
It's important, though, like I think, to distinguish that, because it does happen a lot in the workplace, too. I think, I know from speaking from my own experience, wearing super awesome ties that have paisleys and are colorful, that, you know, it's not always just about the peacocking. It's just looking good sometimes and knowing that you do with that cool tie.
But it's interesting that you can take this to another level, because, and I just this morning I'm passing on the street and there's this guy in a slick haircut and the classic young t-shirt, and he's in what must be a $100,000 red Porsche. The Porsche is the peacocking feature, but it's used for a different purpose, because that's a person who's showing off wealth and privilege. It's a different circumstance.
Well, it very much is. And just sticking with clothes before we move on, when I see, whenever I see guys in those muscle shirts, or anything that is tailored to show off their gym body, that to me is peacocking. Guys with lots of product in their hair, That's peacocking. And those usually fake tans, especially fake tans, is peacocking. That's because you have to go. It takes a lot of effort to get a fake tan. And so you're basically saying this.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I suspect yours isn't real.
No. This is all paint, I swear. I'm doing brown face for 34 years.
The tanning stuff basically tells the person you're trying to attract, or to the other rest of the world, look how much I care about my appearance. And there are those who respond well to guys who seem to take an inordinate amount of time caring about their appearance. So there's definitely that in the clothing, you know, chests showing and things of that nature, clothes as frames for the peacock body that, and I think we can all agree the peacock body is that gym sculpted type of body. No?
I guess so. In the most simplest form, I think that's definitely like something that men do.
Yeah. Okay.
I was sorry, go on.
I wasn't. No, you go on.
I was actually thinking my favorite form of male peacocking is the guy who knows how to fix it and has the tools. He knows how to fix it, or he's watching you fix it and you're just not fixing it right, or he has a suggestion. That is the best.
Well, that is very much peacocking men to men, which we can move on to now. Because as much as men may peacock to attract somebody that they consider attractive, or just to appear attractive to them, there's the male to male bro type of peacocking. And I think you hit it nail on the head. The guy who always knows how to fix whatever the situation is. It's, oh, here, let me do that. You know, here, let me try that. Like, something doesn't work. No, let me fix that. Let me try that. And you know, most famous one for me and a friend is we were trying to get a AV display working at an event, and we needed a particular part, like a particular connector. And the guy who was sitting at a table near us says, "Oh, I've got one of those. It's got a huge capacity. I got one of those at home." Where's home? Ottawa. We're in Toronto. Well, what good was that? But he had to show off that he had, you know, he had the item that we needed. He was, you know, he'd be prepared. And guys do that all the time. Am I right, Aaron?
You are 100% right about this. And this is a massive pet peeve for me. And it ties into the things we talk about on this show about men with among men trying to exert power over each other in social settings. The two that come out for me is the one who always wants to take responsibility for things, whereas it's the one who always wants to use his car, use his house, be the one to plan the party, and in so doing, being the one to control the timeline. Because when you put factors like that together, like, it's not a physical display of dominance like the clothing ones that we were talking about earlier, but it's knowing what the tools are to manipulate the state of ongoing conversation, to manipulate the relationships, to know the choices people are making, and to be able to move them in a general direction that suits your needs. Like, tactical choices in terms of what people take responsibility for among men, in my experience, a huge way men peacock amongst each other.
Well, I have to add a caveat to that as far as the person saying, have the party at my house. Because when I was a kid, we used to all, my friend Michael Cole used to be the guy, when we wanted to have a party, we would tell Michael we were going to have it at his house.
And there's that too, absolutely. Just because, having the house is something.
Well, because we didn't want to have to be the ones to clean it up afterwards. So, you know, that is a separate matter altogether. But yes, the amount of social control, my wife says that there's part of the root of actual mansplaining is a man trying to peacock, trying to show off his knowledge, his level of information, his level of competence for a woman. And that is its own form of actual peacocking, more than it's actually mansplaining. It's a guy trying to show off and for the opposite sex. What other kinds of behavior do you guys identify with peacocking? Hafiz?
You know what? I've seen a lot of it's how you act in a group. So it's like the group setting and in a conversation and drawing that conversation and leading it. And there's two types. There's a guy that will try to bring others down that I think is a complete asshole and fails. And I like to burn that dude. And then there's the other dude that talks up some other people and just is a solid bro in a circle. I find that type of dude usually ends up looking solid in women's eyes and is usually more successful at the peacocking game.
It's interesting. Okay. What about you, Andy? What about you as far as behavior? What okay. Peacocking behavior?
It's an instinct. I have to admit it. Bit of a narcissist. But I yesterday my friend's car broke down and we had to get a tow truck. And there was just this like, almost like a Jekyll and Hyde, like a weird, or like a werewolf that just like hit me and transformed me immediately up. I was like, I know the number for BCAA. And I quickly called BCAA and I said, oh, let me get behind the wheel. Maybe I can do it. I started looking underneath the hood of the engine. I don't know what came over me, but I felt so powerful and sexy and manly and amazing when I was doing this. I wouldn't say I was doing it to peacock, but I definitely like, you know, I think other people could perceive it as like, oh, he thinks he knows what he's doing. And really it's like, no, I want to be the one to get the engine to turn over before BCAA comes so I can talk shop with the BCAA technician.
Reveling in your masculinity because you could get mechanical things working?
There's something kind of fun about that. It kind of makes you feel useful. You know, a lot of people, they suck at their jobs. They don't have much power in their lives. So, you know, if they can get an engine to turn over and, you know, they can, you know, talk with their friends about it, I mean, that makes you feel good. So there's that.
I was going to say, okay, are power tools peacocking? Are power tools male peacocking? What do you think, Aaron?
Are power tools peacocking? Well, there's definitely a show of force there, and there's money involved in that. Like, as I get older, I realize how the things are changing over time. I guess this would probably be the pushing 40 version of video games, because, yeah, if as Andy says, if you're the guy who's able to fix things, or if you're the guy who happens to have the shiny new toy, I could see that happening. Now, I'm as urban as they come, and I have no desire to do machine work, but I know the guys I borrow from, so I guess you could say that they are peacocking to me. So I'd say yes.
Okay. I don't really put that in there in peacocking. That like that's the only
come on,
only
it's
men
so
are,
mat-
no
it's
no
so
no
masculine.
No it's only
it's like the
it's only attracting
guy.
Men that it's not no no peacocking has to in some way be focused around attracting the opposite sex more than anything, or the one that you're trying to attract sexually. I mean, if you're trying to show off power tools to guys, no, that's not. No, I'm sorry. That's
oh, come
not really
on, guys. Guys peacock for each other all the time.
No, yeah, but that's different. That's still again peacocking to show who's alpha in a situation amongst women, and to
no,
to
it's not.
Say, oh,
guys peacock when there's just other guys around. You know,
no,
you
no,
oh, you, oh,
the barbecue, the barbecue.
It's still
the barbecue.
Yeah, but it's still again about hierarchy. It's all about hierarchy. It's not about attraction.
Well, no, but peacocking is just showing off in a very male way.
Peacocking is showing off for a specific purpose to get the attraction of a sexual partner.
No, I think we have a peacock battle happening right now between our
teams. I'd say that's happening too.
Yeah, my peacock's bigger than yours.
There's another form of peacocking that happens, and I like to call it the commander, and it happens in the workplace. The person who always has to notice things that are wrong, notice things that need to be fixed, and have to make it very public that they're aware of how to like fix things or change things where they've identified problems. And those people drive me the hell up the wall. Boys, I don't know what you think, but.
Well, listen, there's a very definite kind of peacocking that occurs amongst men amongst stand-up comics. Because I would say that peacocking is attempting to be seen as attractive in not only a sexual way, but in a talented way, in an intelligent way, that, you know, those are other hallmarks that men want to be validated for. And stand-up comics, my God, you've never seen a group of people more, first of all, predatory. They're like those wolf packs that when the lead wolf gets sick, they just jump on it and eat it. Stand-up comics are constantly, one will make a joke and the others will try not to, if other people laugh, another stand-up comic will try to make a joke that tops it right away. and then someone will make another joke to try to top that. It is a constant, like, rap battle of jokes. And that is so very definitely peacocking, because they want to be seen as attractive in the sense of they're very, very funny. You know, that to them, absolutely, right there is important.
I would agree on that, because, again, it's about who's the funniest guy in the room, and so that all the other guys know who's the funniest, and so do the women.
Well, and there's often no women there because it's stand-up comedy. I mean, it's changed over years, but it's changed over the years. But I noticed that when there are male and female stand-up comics there, the males will be the ones who engage in the constant trying to one-up each other. And the women comedians just sort of stand back and watch it, and then will occasionally just stealth bomb the whole thing. Just they've been quiet the whole time, and then they drop in a line that just trumps everything. And it sort of exposes just how much, of a dick contest has been going on. But that is definitely a form of peacocking. I think guys who go to the gym and are walking around strutting, lifting huge amounts of weight and so on, that is exercise, but there's also a degree of performance there. Are you going to disagree with me on this, Hafiz?
Look, I'm looking at the definition of peacocking, and it's mostly about attracting the other sex. So,
but mostly, not only, and besides,
no. It again, when it comes to male versus male, it's all about hierarchy. I mean, the term came from Neil Strauss's book, which was The Game, which was about attracting women and how to peacock. Is a whole chapter in there.
Yeah, and as Aaron said earlier, there's a form of peacocking where the guy controls the parameters of the dialogue. And in this case, that's me. And I'm saying that peacocking expands to basically any kind of strutting behavior, any kind of male strutting behavior. Because the stand-up comic stuff can be done in front of just men, but women there as well. It adds a new imperative level when women are there. The power tools, men like to show off their power tools to other men because, again, it's hierarchy.
Power tools is not peacocking.
I have seen guys not using power tools. Using power tools is not peacocking.
Owning them, women are never going to care about how many power tools I own.
But men think there's men who think that they will.
No, there isn't. No man thinks that women are attracted to fucking power tools. Every man that buys power tools and that has a woman knows that they had to buy them without her knowledge and secretly added to their collection.
See, but those are guys that are already partnered. I'm talking about guys who aren't, and it's guys very much, it's a big dick contest about not owning a power, if you own a power tool because you need to use a power tool,
I'm only going to attract a big dick. I'm not going to attract a woman.
The biggest dick.
No, because women over here.
Okay, so Fees has a lot of power tools.
I don't own a single fucking one. I own one box that's a Black & Decker thing that came with all the screws and shit like that, and that's all I own, and a hammer.
Okay, well, I'm doubtful, but I'll take your word for it. There's another form. I mean, you mentioned the car. I forget who mentioned the Porsche. I think it was Aaron. Was it you?
Yes, absolutely. That was me. I saw that this morning. It stood out like a sore thumb.
Now, what other types of possessions do guys use to peacock with, Aaron?
Well, certainly among the wealthy men that I've known, watches has been a big one. I got dragged, I'll tell you, across East Germany by a friend of mine who is a big watch aficionado, so he wanted to go visit the factories, and at the various ones he bought $6,000 watch here, $4,000 watch here. Trips are another one. I have one friend who enjoyed his regular Vegas trips, and every now and then brought me along to see how the other side lives. So those types of things, experiences. But yeah, in that class, I'd say cars, watches, suits, and trips come to mind.
Okay, that's pretty complete. Anybody, Andy, you have anything to add to that list?
I definitely think trips are the big things that I see among millennials or my contemporaries. Like, for sure, on Instagram, everyone's posting that they're in Bali or they're traveling to Mexico or they go to Vegas for the weekend. And it's like, for me, I look at it like, holy shit, like what, like that's insane. But yeah, definitely traveling and showing it off is a form of peacocking.
Okay. Hafiz, anything to add to that?
I agreed. I mean, well, traveling in general and showing that you are able to travel, can afford it, and especially how you travel. So are you traveling economy, or do you have that picture of you stretching out in business class? Are you staying at, you know, a hostel, or did you get that really sick hotel room and, you know, your Instagram posts are 95% about that hotel room? All that's peacocking. That's showing off that, hey, if you do hook up with me, chances are you're going to go on a vacation. That's what that guy's trying to say.
Yeah, well, he's showing off that he's got wealth, and that goes back to the whole notion of the man as the good provider.
Right.
Now, I think that it attracts a certain kind of woman.
Not all women. the one that will take 50% in 6 years.
It attracts women who are attracted more to the trappings than to the individual, and they usually have very, very surface relationships. But a lot of those people only want the surface. Their whole life is surface. They, you know, they never bothered diving deeper into who they are and why they do things. And listen, there's whole consumer industries that thrive upon people like that. So I really shouldn't shit on them.
Look, a lot of modern men and women are highly superficial and materialistic. And for a lot of them, they go through this 20-year cycle of living that, and then they're in their 40s and they realize that they don't have any actual meaningful relationships in their lives. It can be a bit of a shock. And you see a lot of people have that little crisis and maybe change a little bit of their personality.
Now, there's also the element of social media peacocking, or as my wife calls it, featherless peacocking. men who jump in to defend feminism or women or something to show just what
cucks.
great allies they are, and they do it strictly as a means of performance. They do it as because it is still a form of benevolent patriarchy, if I can use that term, or at least patronizing. For them to do
aren't
that,
aren't these the nice guys, the so-called nice guys?
Yes,
that you know, they'll do this and they'll talk like this, but they're the biggest fucking creeps if you ever were one-on-one with them.
Yeah, yes, you pretty much summed it up. But you see it all the time on social media. You see guys piling on, trying to signal to women that they are very sensitive and very supportive of women's rights, and you really do start to feel like these guys are full of shit more often than not. But they're there just peacocking. Andy, what do you think?
Oh, I see this all the time on Instagram. I see all my contemporaries woeing about with the world's problems. And then when you go to them with a real identifiable issue that's maybe happening in your life that you really need help with, whether it's a human rights abuse or discrimination, they don't show up at all. They cower, they hide. Those sort of people, I'm very credulous of people who have to signal what they believe in socially and the changes they wish to make, because chances are they're not making them in their everyday life or even in their social, in their friendships.
All right, Aaron?
Well, it's interesting because I'm certain that I can immediately have been accused of doing social media peacocking in exactly this way for political purposes over the 6 months, November to about March. But I did it for a specific reason, which was I was trying to call out problems within the Conservative Party, and I was using the tactics. I choose to believe that my tactics were virtuous, but those who think of where they were evil, I'm prepared to accept their perspective on that.
You were doing it for political gain. You weren't doing it to try to appeal to women, for example, to show off.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's a Conservative Party. There's no women in that, is there?
Yes, yes, in fact, there are. There's some very prominent ones.
Five?
I often wonder why they're there. I think that what you were doing, Aaron, was a form of business. Like, it was a form of trying to improve yourself business-wise.
Yes.
I don't believe...
And I will say...
I
I resented the accusation in some moments, and there were some trolls. There were trolls all over the place, but some were trying to interpret certain posts or certain words as being lewd comments or whatnot. And I just thought, look, I'm playing into an image here, and I'm doing it to draw attention to things that somebody in the stature that I had would not have been able to do otherwise. So I'm aware of the insinuations of some of the things that I'm saying, but make no mistake, my intentions are good. And if anybody wants to accuse otherwise of trying to lump me into that lot, I am going to vocally take offense to it. But you're right, it was for a professional purpose, and I took offense when anybody insinuated otherwise.
And you know who insinuated otherwise? Guys who were peacocking.
You're right, absolutely. Bingo.
Yeah, guys who were peacocking were the ones to say, you're not really a defender of women. You're and picking out vulgarities or suggestive things that weren't there. That is also peacocking, showing how woke they are, that they can detect hidden dog whistles about anti-feminism and things of that nature. That's there all over the place.
Oh, the entire woke movement is all about peacocking. It's those dudes that saw the fucking Che Guevara shirts in university and then decided to say, you know what, I need to continuously fight these battles and present myself as a fighter of battles, and hopefully I'll get attracted draw attraction from the women that are into that. But it's not really how life works, and you'll find that a lot of these guys end up alone because that's not what women are really into. They don't need some dude that's continuously out there to ride a chariot and fight political battles.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they do, and you're exactly right. I think a lot of women see right through that. It's, you know, it's no different than during the 60s and the free love era. It was a lot of guys promoting the free love era because they just wanted to have sex without any context, so they weren't necessarily caring there about women's rights. They were there about wanting to be able to have sex without there being any consequence to it. So, yeah, is what I'm saying. You're right. Now, let's talk. Now, Andy and Aaron, this may be something that's more of a revelation for you than something you can participate in, but peacocking changes as you get older. Am I right, Hafiz?
I am learning this in real time.
It changes. It really depends on you as a person, though, because if you are, like, and I know 45-year-olds or 50, almost 50-year-olds that are still single men that peacock as hard as a 20-something. And you know what? It really comes down to where you are as a person in your world of relationships. If you're older and, you know, you have a long-term partner and whatnot, it's completely different than if you are a single dude that, you know, is still trying to attract.
It's different. No, you're right. It's different. But you still feel, listen, I'm over 50 now. And I've been, you know, happily with my wife now for 22 years. And yet when I'm out and I see that there are other people around that I think I might be judged by, I'll find myself trying to, like, suck in my stomach, put my chest out a little bit. And I realize as it's happening that I'm doing this unconsciously. And then I sort of say, cut it out. What do you give a shit? But you do still, because you don't want to be seen as older. You don't want to be seen as lacking vitality. And so you do put on certain physical responses that are sort of subconsciously activated because it's a different motivation for the peacocking, but it's still the same thing. You want to still be seen as vital and virile in a sense, rather than sort of the you know, in the has-been pile. So, I mean, I wish Paul had been able to join us because he would be able to offer something on that as well. But it doesn't go away. Even when you're happily partnered, there still is some instinct to try to make yourself look a little bit puffed up when you're out there. And often you don't even realize you're doing it. I mean, Hafiz, you ever noticed this happening with you?
I honestly don't really have a personality that cares anymore. Like, I'm sorry.
I don't either, but still.
Like, I found, honestly, that the less I've given a shit since turning 30, the better I've done in life and the more attraction I get. My don't give a fuck attitude has actually gotten more attention than my I give a fuck attitude.
Oh, it absolutely does. I guess what I'm saying, and this is I mean, Andy and Aaron, feel free to chime in if you, and I'll go to you in a second, Aaron. But I find that I don't care about being over 50. I'm quite fine with it. But you still, there's in the back of my head, there's the, how the fuck did I get to be over 50? And, you know, when did that happen? And, and also, and just the, I don't want to be seen as one of those old people. And so I will try to make myself appear to be more trim or whatever, because I don't want to be seen as some of these, one of these lazy old fucks.
Well, there's a lot of advertising and content out there for people that are in that age group from 40 to 50 that don't want to appear like they're going to be 60 soon, you know?
Oh, good God, I am. Well, not soon. Not soon, but sooner than you guys.
Like, look at the things, like, they have the things like Just for Men gel and, like, you know, stuff to make your beard look darker. And if you look at a lot of men that are sort of in the athletic world that are in you know, their post-40 age group, they're using things like human growth hormone and stuff like that to make their bodies look better and younger, so that they can maybe try pull off another 10 years of that look and be that 60-year-old that looks like a 40-year-old.
Now, Aaron, you said you're learning this in real time. What do you mean?
Yeah, amongst my friends, a big one is the hair, because I'm, I guess, in this sense, one of the lucky ones. I can still peacock with my hair. I can have long, curly, thick hair. But my friends who are either balded, going bald, or gray, when you start getting into the 30s, that starts to matter a little more, especially amongst the single ones. Because you notice that, like, I'm self-conscious in any number of ways, but my hair has never been one of them. But these guys, I notice as their personalities change, because they know the look that they're giving off is changing. It's a very interesting aspect of male aging.
Interesting. And Andy, can you contribute to this in any way? You're still a young pup.
Well, you know, one thing I like to peacock a lot is my own freedom, and my freedom to completely be myself, to not really care all too much if it's not current or doesn't fit in with other people. I love that. I love, love, love being me, because for so long I hated being me, and for so long I think other people wanted me to hate me for being me. So I love being able to just be completely free with, like, 3 buttons undone on my shirt, walking around feeling sexy as hell in tight jeans and just doing my shit. I just think it's great. I love peacocking and showing that side of myself.
Okay, that's probably a good place to end it. Lord knows I'm not walking around with 3 buttons undone. But then again, I don't think
Can I just say one thing? As a gay male, Stephen, first of all, you're over 50. You do not look it. Second of all, if I can look half as good as you do at over 50 without any cosmetic procedures, let me tell you something. I'll be in good hands. I'll be looking great.
Well, I wish you to look better than I do over you're over 50, but still.
You're fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, as you get older, you start to look in the mirror, and the face looking at you ain't the face that you think you look like on the inside. You're still thinking of what you looked like 15 years ago. You'll see. You'll grow into it. But I think that's just normal. And we live in a society that is so youth-based that we don't venerate our – I wouldn't be younger for any money. You know, so every time I go to get alcohol, like I'm at the supermarket and I get some wine for my wife, the woman comes over and says, "You're 19, right? You just turned 19." And I said, "Yeah, I'm working towards my third 19. And she says, "Oh no, you still look 19. And I said, "I wouldn't be 19 again for any money in the world." And there was people behind me in the line, like, nodding, like, no, thank you. But while you say that, you'd still like to feel like you did when you were 19. You know, youth is wasted on the young. But we've had an interesting conversation today about peacocking. And I don't think we can determine whether it's a good or a bad thing. It's just simply a thing. Wouldn't you guys agree? Would you agree, Hafiz?
It's not a good or it's a necessity in our society in terms of attraction. I mean, women have a different style of it entirely in attracting men. But in terms of how we function in a modern society, this is part of our courtship, and there's good ways to do it and there's bad ways to do it. And the bad ways to do it usually smell like brute.
And the bad ways to do it usually identify you as a douchebag. Because douchebags are always peacocking. But the thing, I think the thing about good peacocking is it shouldn't seem like peacocking.
Exactly.
When it becomes clear that you're putting on a performance, your peacocking should basically blend into who you are, and it should be like a holistic thing, as opposed to seeming like you're trying too hard, like you're setting yourself on fire to get attention. You agree with that, Aaron?
Well, I would actually say that this is the resolution of the debate issue that you and Hafiz were having, because everybody self-promotes, whether it's in a professional setting or whether it's women or whether any type of competition over some objective. But when it gets to a point where it's artificial, where it's very clearly masking some sort of deficiency or insecurity, then that's where I would invoke the pejorative peacocking. But I, whether it's in the basic form of self-promotion, it'll always exist. We're humans, we interact, we have to meet each other, we have to learn to interact with each other. But the question is it authentic? That's what matters to me.
I love what the vocabulary you bring to these conversations.
Yeah, that's the Canna Lattes talking. Cfusion.ca, Canna Lattes. Kits will be ready soon, I promise.
Nah.
You'll all be able to be as hyped up on the Canna Lattes as I am.
And that was actual promotion, not peacocking. And it's completely kosher. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. Andy Willis can be found at Andyland Radio. That's correct, right?
That's right. You can always go to andylandradio.com and Friends with Andy. And I'm on the air, going to be coming back next week, Wednesdays, 10:30 Pacific, 12:30 Central on CITR 101.9 FM.
Please tell us again what Friends with Andy is.
Friends with Andy is a website where you can just basically be my friend. And if you want to be friends with someone who's completely screwed up, who's been through it all, who's seen it, done it, whether it's suicide, anxiety, depression, PTSD, you're just feeling blue and want to throw some glitter on it, go to friendswithandy.org. You can read a lot of stuff that I write openly and candidly about my own anxiety and PTSD. But you can also meet other authors that I've interviewed that have a lot of insight to say, whether you're gay, straight, it's a good place to be.
Well, in a very platonic sense, Andy, you know I love you, man. Hafiz Narani is a digital marketing consultant and analyst, and he does good work. I can attest to that personally. And Hafiz, where can people find you when they're looking for snarky tweets on the internet?
Feezy does it, baby. Come on by.
All right, at Feezy does it. All right, thank you, Hafiz. And Aaron Seal, yes, go on. Oh, were you going to say something, Hafiz?
No.
Oh, okay. Aaron Seal has just mentioned his company, Cfusion, which is creating, well, I'll let you tell us. What is Cfusion, Aaron?
Kits of tools to make edibles, cannabis-infused products at home, whether it's cannabis oils, cannabis milks, cannabis syrups. Kits are in production, coming soon. And for political content on Twitter, it's at Aaron with 1A Seal.
Cannabis milk?
Cannabis milk, cannabis-infused milk. That's what I make my canna lattes with.
Where's the nipples on the weed bud? I'm looking at one right now and trying to find it.
Was this a Lewis Black sketch?
Cows eat grass. Thank you very much, Aaron, and they can find you where?
Cfusion.ca is the corporate website, and Aaron Seal on Twitter.
And Cfusion is the letter C.
That's right.
Okay, guys, in cannabis fusion. Okay, thank you all for this program. I suppose people can accuse us by being on this program and talking of peacocking, but... those people can go to hell.
Until they see our pictures.
All right. Thank you all. And thanks everyone out there. And if you're enjoying this program, and if you've stayed all the way to the end, you either enjoyed this program or you hated it so much, you wanted to see how much more you could hate it. either way, you have spent some time with us, and we like spending time with you, and we'd like to keep spending time with you. And the best way to do that is to make sure we can keep going by helping to keep building FU Network. That's fun, the FU Network. FU stands for For Us and for For You. It's the kind of programming that the big guys don't do anymore and won't be doing anymore. Stuff that's personal and relatable and street level and honest. That kind of stuff. No cue cards, no stage managing, no focus groups. Stuff that's just honest and honest and authentic. We want to keep going with this. We want to keep growing. And to do that, we need your help. So you can become a patron by becoming a Patreon member, patreon.com /FUNetworkTV. It starts at $1, but come on, you can afford $5 a month. It's only $1.25 a week. You don't even think, you take money out of an ATM, it costs you more than that. So $1.25 a week, $5 a month. We appreciate it. People are starting to really kick back in
50
on this.
If you really want a peacock, and yes, we will show you off.
Yes.
To everyone. We're going to tell everyone you have the hugest dick if you give us $50 a month.
That's right. If you give us $50 a month, we will go on the show and say that you have a huge dick, even if you're female. Because you can have a metaphorical huge dick.
Look, these days, little women have the bigger dicks. I'm serious. Look at them swing on Twitter. And it's like AOC, she's swinging with like a 12-foot dick. I swear to God.
I just like her. I just like
Melissa DeGenova.
I just like that Andy sounded like the Cesar Romero Joker from the Batman TV series.
I totally did.
Yeah. Okay. So you can become a patron at patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. If you want to use PayPal instead, you can give a one-time boost, which is appreciated. Or they also allow basically subscriptions, which are recurring payments. And you can. Some people just prefer PayPal to Patreon. Totally fine. You go there and direct it to our email address, which is funetworktv@gmail.com. So I want to thank you guys all for listening. I want to thank my panelists and invite you to join us on our next edition of Mensplaining here on Fun, the FU Network. For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus. FU stands for us, you and me, and this is Fun, the FU Network.